message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
So we're just going to jump right into it. We're talking about obedience this morning. And this is a topic that I find very relative to the season of life that my wife and I are in, and that is obeying where God has spoken, obeying what we have heard him tell us. And, you know, Christianity, can we talk about that for a second? Christianity, it's an awesome journey. It's got all sorts of crazy things that take place in it, and you've got the best traveling partner ever. Jesus Christ is the greatest partner you could bring on a trip anywhere. It's one that requires sacrifice. It's a hard journey. It requires sacrifice and absolute obedience. That's hard. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Luke 9:24 says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Talking about sacrifice and obedience. Whenever we begin to follow Jesus, when we begin to make him Lord of our life is no longer our own. It belongs to him. Making it in and of itself a sacrifice. Our life becomes a sacrifice. When we give Jesus control over ourselves, we become his vessel. And we're broken. But he loves using broken vessels. Two people found in the Word who I believe knew what it meant to be obedient and sacrificial better than most were Joseph and Mary, the parents of our King Jesus. I've got a select few figures throughout the Bible that I put on a really high pedestal. People like Elijah, David, because obviously he's got the best name in the world, making him the bomb. He was a very rad guy. You're welcome. I said it. That's the last time I'll say rad. I promise. John the Baptist, man, I love that guy. He's so crazy. These people have my utmost respect. And then there's Mary and Joseph. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, are two of the most admirable figures in the Word, at least to me. At least to me. Mary was inspirational in the way she was willing to become God's vessel to carry our King, especially when you consider how awkward and unusual it was for an unmarried pregnant girl to show up in public. Not to mention she carried the pain of watching her son later on be tortured and crucified for the sake of everybody. Joseph sacrificed what he thought life, marriage, and fatherhood were supposed to look like in a way that I'm sure I could not. If God had told me, this kid is not going to be yours, I am going to create this one, and you'll love him, but you'll have to give him up. They're kind of like, Lord, you crazy. But there are a few lessons we can learn from Mary and Joseph. And the first one being, devotion means obedience. Devotion means obedience. All too often, we confuse religious feelings and hype with devotion. You know, like you come out of a really good worship service. If my hair on my neck and arms is standing up during the worship set, obviously I'm more devoted to God than the people whose hair is not standing up. I'm having a better experience than they are. I must be closer to God than they are. That altar call, it made me sob like a baby. And the person next to me was stone-faced. I'm clearly the more devoted Christian. That's not the case. Real devotion is about obedience. It's about trusting and being faithful to God and relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us in our words and in our actions. Mary's story makes that clear in Luke 1:26 through 38. It's a lot of scripture. I'm not going to put it up there. The reference will be up there, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the village of Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David." There's that name again. It's a good one. "His name is Joseph, and the virgin's name, Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. 'Good morning, You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that, but the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, to no end, ever to his kingdom. Mary said to the angel, but how? I've never slept with a man. That would stump anybody. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you not know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see is impossible with God. And Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say. And then the angel left. I don't know about you guys, but I would have been freaking out at this whole thing. I would have been flipping out. And not just because I'm a dude and having an angel tell me that I'm pregnant would be nuts, but because it's such a bizarre and heavy thing to have happen. And what's amazing is that even though Mary was obviously freaked out by what Gabriel just told her, her faithfulness and willingness towards God was unwavering. I love that she wasn't afraid to ask her questions to God. She voiced her concerns, but when it came down to it, Mary chose to obey. She was willing. Church, we ought to be willing to follow Mary's example, be able to say, even though I don't have all of the answers, I can't really see things all too clearly, I'm still God's vessel. I'll go a step further and say that faith is all about taking that step in obedience, even when we don't have all the answers. It's all about taking the step of obedience. Point number two. See, look, I'm a youth pastor. I preach a little quicker than senior pastors do. And my stomach is growling already, so. Point number two. Obedience can mean sacrifice. See, Christianity sounds harder and harder by the second. Mary was engaged to Joseph when Gabriel showed up. The announcement of her pregnancy caused a little bit of friction between the two of them, and I kind of get why. Had Krista over here told me after I proposed to her, hey, by the way, I'm carrying what's essentially a baby created by the Force from Star Wars. I've got Anakin growing inside of me. I think a problem or two would have been voiced on my part. We're going to have to discuss this. I may need that ring back. Man. But Joseph was different. He had been so bothered that he actually did consider sending Mary away. We find that in Matthew 1, 18 through 25. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, bothered but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream, Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God with us, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophet's sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel. God is with us. Then Joseph woke up and he did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. As weird and stressful as all of this was, for Joseph and Mary, for this couple, it was only the beginning of the hardships that they were about to face. Things were only going to get a bit more difficult. The custom at the time was to take your baby to the temple in Jerusalem to be presented and blessed at the temple. Joseph and Mary were upstanding citizens, So that's what they did. And while they were there, they met a righteous man named Simeon, who God had promised would see the Messiah before he died of old age. When he met Jesus, he prayed a prayer, an excited prayer of thanksgiving, then spoke to Joseph and Mary, as we read in Luke 2, 34 and 35. It says, Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. Simeon went on to bless them and said to Mary, his mother, this child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel, a figure misunderstood and contradicted. The pain of a sword thrust through you, but the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are. And we know what happened later on. Just like Simeon had prophesied, the ministry of Jesus turned Jerusalem and the entire world upside down. She's agreeing with me. That last statement that Simeon had made was clear to Mary. For Jesus to do what he was meant to do, Mary would have to suffer. I think Joseph and Mary grasped the concept of what Jesus had been born to do, but I don't think they really understood the execution of that plan. We can only assume that when Gabriel came to them and told them about everything Jesus would do in his ministry, I think they thought they knew what that would look like. Our king's parents probably had no idea that the religious leaders of Israel would turn against them. I don't think they knew what was destined for their son. I don't think they knew that a terrible and brutal death on a cross was coming his way, and that he would be buried in a lowly grave. But we've got to give Mary credit here. She deserves some credit. She was actually there to see her son, our king, crucified on the cross. She never left his side. But just like Simeon had said, a sword had pierced through her soul. You know, I've found that walking with Jesus can often mean walking through some pretty terrifying stuff. 2020, for instance, it has been a weird year. I've said that to the students all year long since this whole thing started. It's been a weird year, and it's been challenging on many fronts. I have found myself on a spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical roller coaster. But who never left my side? Jesus has been there the whole time. Even whenever things were unknown, whenever things were terrifying, and I felt like I had no control, he's had it all along. It nearly always requires some form of sacrifice on our part. And those sacrifices can mean letting go of our expectations of what we thought was supposed to happen. That's something my wife and I have been talking about here lately is, we never thought we'd be saying goodbye to Belong Youth Ministry. God knew. He knew we were going somewhere. I had no control over it. He had all of the control. It's been in his hands the whole time. And I've had to let go. I've had to learn how to let go of my expectations of what I thought was supposed to happen, because God had a different plan. My plan doesn't always match his. Your plan won't always match his. But his is always better. Always. The people of Israel were convinced that when Jesus arrived on earth, he'd come in on a horse like a warrior with a sword and getting ready to conquer everybody who would oppose God in Israel and take his place on the throne. Instead, he arrived in the humblest of forms, that of a blameless baby, the Prince of Peace, who would later speak about an entirely different kingdom. Expectations aren't always realized, but we've got to be willing to give them up and realize that God actually does know better than we do. I promise you he does. Point number three, believe that Jesus will pull through. Before Jesus would officially begin his ministry of truth and love, he, his mother Mary, and a few disciples went to a wedding in a town called Cana. Dude, this party was jumping. It was popping. They were having a good time. And before anyone could warn the host, they ran out of wine. And what is an ancient Israel party without wine? It was all gone. And it was then that Mary looked at Jesus, and the response, she didn't even have to say anything. I loved that. The response that Jesus gave wasn't really one of commitment.
In John 2:4, he asked his mom, "Why do you involve me when my time has not arrived?" Mary did the thing that moms do best, and she waved him off and then gave instruction. My mom used to do that. I'd be getting ready to go hang out with friends. "Actually, go over here, and I need you to do this and this and this and this and this." Fine. And that's what Mary just did to Jesus. She waved him off and told the servants at the wedding to do whatever Jesus told them. And John gives some detail on what happened next in verses 6 through 10. It says, six stoneware water pots were there, used by the Jews for ritual washings. Each held 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus ordered the servants, "Fill the pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. "Now fill your pitchers and take them to the host," Jesus said, and they did. When the host tasted the water that had become wine, he didn't know what had just happened, but the servants, of course, knew. He called out to the bridegroom, "Everybody I know begins with their finest wines, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you've saved the best till now." So the first couple dozen or so times that I read this account, I thought I was picking up on a little bit of attitude from Jesus. "Mom, come on. Chill, not now. Like, let me do my thing." But after really digging into this portion of scripture, I don't think that's really the case. I think he was testing his mom a little bit. And Mary passed that test. Her faith in her son saving the day never faded. Not once. Because again, she didn't even have to say anything. She looked at her son and said, "Guys, come do what he tells you." The horrifying thought of running out of wine would have humiliated the bride and the groom. And Mary clearly cared about the outcome in this situation. And she trusted that the king of the world did too. We ought to trust that what's important to the children of God is important to him as well. And we should have faith and believe that he'll save the day should it be what he has intended. Because again, release your expectations. Maybe saving the day doesn't look like what you thought it would look like. Here's number four, simple faith and obedience. Mary and Joseph showed what pure faith looks like. When you glance at the surface of their story, it doesn't look like very much. But their willingness to sacrifice what they thought life should look like and to obey God in what sounded like an impossible and costly task would change history. Everything was changed because of their sacrifice and willingness to obey the difficult task that God had asked of them. Sometimes the most meaningful thing we can do is to be like Abraham and say, "I'm yours, God, have your way." And trek up the mountain that God has placed us on, willing to make any sacrifice necessary, believing that God will, in fact, provide a way. Now, I told you guys, I'm a youth pastor. I preach a little quick. I'm going to conclude, but here's how I'm going to do it. The point of any message that I try to make is to point back to the gospel that Paul laid out for us in 1 Corinthians. And he said this, the gospel is Jesus is king. That's the good news. Paul would go on to break that good news down and saying that the king of the world came down, born in our form as an innocent baby and lived among us, performed signs and wonders that would point back to the Father, die for our sins, and be risen again to conquer death and provide a way to eternity with him. That's the gospel broken down. God saw fit to use the sacrifice and obedience of Joseph and Mary to kick off all of that. Their sacrifice led to the sacrifice that Jesus made. And that sacrifice leads to the one that we can make as well. So what I'm asking is, give your life to Jesus, King of the world. He loves you and he wants to be with you forever. There's hope found in that step of sacrifice and obedience. There's hope found, and that hope's name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. So here's what we're going to do. This is how we're going to conclude. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I know most of you in here, I know that most of you follow Jesus, but what if you don't? I don't want to take that chance. I've been blessed with the opportunity to come forward and present that hope to you guys, and I'm not going to pass it by. So if you are one of the few who has not given yourself over to Jesus, you haven't stepped out in that obedience and sacrifice, now is the time. There's no better time than right now to begin to follow Jesus. Or maybe you have before, but you found yourself slipping. You found yourself going off the rails a little bit. You find yourself in a situation where it looks like there is no hope. You can't see what the outcome is going to be. I promise you there's hope. There is. It's Jesus. He is that hope. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask if you fall into either of those categories, go ahead, put your hand up. Nobody else looking around. Okay. Or you find yourself, here's another, you find yourself in a position, like I said, where you see no hope. You're going through something right now, and you don't see a way out. It could be financial, family problems, marriage problems, addiction. Jesus has it. He's got the answer. He's got the key. If you find yourself in that situation, put your hand up. Nobody on either, which to me is amazing. What a testimony, guys. Everybody in here saying they follow Jesus. So, Lord, thank you that we all have recognized that you are the hope. Thank you for that, God. What a testimony it is to be able to say I am in a room filled with followers of you. That's amazing, God. I pray, Lord, that as 2020 wraps up and we have no idea what 2021 is going to look like, that we would be willing to hand that control over to you, that we would be willing to take that step of obedience and sacrifice, be willing to be your vessel in any scenario that pops up, in any situation that we might face. Be with us. Allow us to recognize that you have a plan and it's better than anything we could come up with. It's in your precious name. Amen. And the way here's how I wrap up every youth service. Yeah, I've had this sign with me for 3 years. It's going with me. I tell everybody, I love them, as Krista does. But I'm addressing you guys. So I love you. My wife loves you. Pastor Mike, Pastor Paul, Ms. Teresa, they love you guys. More importantly, Jesus loves you, has a plan for your life. I'm not going to say the last part. But thank you guys. Before I hand things back over, I just want to thank you guys once more for allowing myself and my family to be here and grow with you guys for the past 3 years. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. Thank you guys.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.